أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
Assalamu alaikum, and we welcome you once again to Islam in Focus. Today's program, inshallah, will be our 27th in our series, Muhammad, may peace be upon him, the last messenger of Allah, and our fourth on methodology of studying Seerah. I'm your host, Rishad Mimish, and here once again from St. Mary's University is Dr. Jamal Bedawi. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Jamal. Could you have, please, a summary of last week's program?
Sure. We continued last week to discuss the problems involved in what some call the materialistic approach in interpreting the seerah or the biography of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which tended to ignore his role above all as a prophet and a messenger of God. We also referred to some of the methodological errors in understanding seerah, which apply even to the writings of some Muslims themselves. We mentioned that some later writers have added anecdotes or reports which contained exaggerations about the person and miracles of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that some of these reports were unauthentic and of doubtful origin, but have been used uncritically by some to misrepresent Islam and its teaching. On the other extreme, we noted that there are some people who try to reject any miracle or extraordinary event, regardless of how reliable and authentic these reports might have been. And we indicated that this kind of rejection was based on what they claimed to be a scientific approach and exactitude of scholarship, but in fact that was not the case. And we indicated that the pioneer in that direction, as far as the biographies of the Prophet, was Muhammad Hussein Haykal in his book Life of Muhammad, peace be upon him.
What are the grounds for Haykal's rejection of reports about, put that in quotation mark, miracles in the life of Muhammad, may peace be upon him?
Let me try first to summarize some of the reasons I could discern from his writing without making a response at the time being. But I think there seem to be three major reasons I could see, which he indicated in the introduction to the first and second edition of his book. For example, on pages 76 and 77 of the introduction to the second edition, he emphasizes that the life of Muhammad, peace be upon him, as a human, quote, has realized the highest ideals possible to man. And then he continues, Muhammad, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, was very careful that Muslims should think of him as a human to whom revelation came. And Haykal goes on to indicate that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did not claim himself any miracle or attribute it to himself, except that his claim that his greatest miracle, or his miracle par excellence, you might say, is the Quran itself. A second reason that he seemed to be given can be discerned from what he writes on the same page also, when he says, quote, that denial of miracles is in perfect accord with the Quran's condemnation of the associationists. By associationists, it refers to mushrikeen, or those who associate others with God in his divine attributes, referring to unbelievers, as men who do not reason. And then thirdly, on pages 80 and 81, he says that there are variations in the reporting of some of those events in the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that's miraculous events, and that some of the early historians omitted some of those stories, and some of them mentioned those stories with a notation or warning to the reader that they are not authentic. It appears that he concludes from this that the reports which relate to any miracle or any extraordinary event in the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, must be rejected.
Do you agree with Haykal, and why? And in general, how would you respond to his comments?
First of all, I respectfully disagree, and there are at least four reasons for that. First of all, it is quite true that the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, even if we do not examine any miracle other than the Quran, is, as Haykal states, the perfect and most comprehensive type of ideal for mankind. There's no question about that. What he achieved was not possible for any other person or even prophet to achieve that much as Prophet Muhammad did. And even if we look at it only from the standpoint of being a human, nothing but, which is he was, there's no question about that. If we disregard any miracle even, that itself is sufficient, and this will become clearer as the series unfolds. But that in itself is not a reason to deny that God honored Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, with other miracles other than the Quran to express his love and care. That applies to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and applies also as well to many other great prophets like Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, peace and blessing be upon them all, because they combined also being a good example for humans, the perfection that any human can achieve, and also there were miracles also, or extraordinary events in their lives. These are not mutually exclusive things. In other words, the human perfection of any prophet is not a reason to reject miracles that happened in their lifetimes. The second reason for not agreeing with Dr. Haykal is that it is true that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and for that matter all other prophets, were worried and leery lest some of the people may think of them as something more than human simply because of the miracles that God has made available to them. That they wanted to make sure that they are no more than servants and creatures of God, and let people know of this. But that again does not mean that the lives of these prophets, including Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, were devoid of any miracle or extraordinary event. In addition to this, the Muslim understanding of the miracle, as clearly stipulated in the Quran, is that it is not something that comes because of the inner power of the Prophet himself, but it is all by the power of God. So they are more like a sign, not an evidence of divinity. It's a sign from God, nothing to do with the humanity of the Prophet. As far as the emphasis of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that his miracle par excellence is the Quran itself, that again does not necessarily mean rejection of other miracles. It is, yes, the most important, but it doesn't preclude other miracles as well. It simply means that this is the main one, the miracle which is perpetual, which is accessible to all people at all times, but it's not the only one either. The third reason is that it is also true that the Quran condemns people who do not reason and follow things blindly or follow their ancestors without realizing whether this is the truth or not. There's no question about that. But that does not mean that the miracles should be rejected, all of them. It gives an additional support, these miracles, to the prophets. It jolts those who are skeptic. After all, it is the same Quran also that mentions that miracles did take place in the lives of many other great prophets and messengers of God in the past. My fourth and final reason why I don't think that Haykal is quite right on this assumption is that it is true that careful Muslim historians did not accept any story critically, especially about miracles in the lifetime of the Prophet. And in fact, some of them omitted what they discovered to be unauthentic after verification. And some of them cautioned the reader after they have even mentioned some of those stories and said that they cannot confirm that this particular story is a trustworthy one. But that again does not mean that this kind of variations is sufficient ground to reject all reports altogether, just like throwing everything together because of the fact that some people try to fabricate stories. In fact, when we speak here about those authors, we speak about their meticulous care that they used in order to verify these reports. So it does not mean that we should reject what they even verified. Indeed, what Haykal mentioned in this respect, it's an argument against his basic position, really, because when he says that ancient methods are unscientific and should be rejected a priori, that it's or a priori, as some people pronounce it, that's not necessarily a true position or correct one to say. In fact, that shows that they were very scientific and very meticulous in the verification of the reports.
What were the sources then that Haykal used for his thoughts, comments, writings?
In his writing, particularly about the seerah or the biography of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Haykal, in fact, claims that he is using the Quran as the standard reference, the first and most important reference. But that in itself is nothing negative. It's quite good. But the difficulty with Haykal, in fact, is that the Quran, while regarded by Muslims as the word of God revealed to the Prophet, the ultimate of accuracy and, in terms of authority and authenticity, but the Quran is not a detailed biography about the life of Prophet Muhammad or any other prophet for that matter, and every event that took place in his life. And even when Haykal makes reference to the Quran, he makes also some major errors of interpretation in trying to seek any evidence to support his view that the life of Prophet Muhammad was devoid of any other physical or tangible miracle other than the Quran itself. In addition to this, when Haykal also referred to hadith, and that's the Prophet saying and affirmations and what happened to him, and other earlier biographies about the Prophet, he seemed to have a basic problem, because he rejects some reports, not because these reports are unauthentic, but simply because they are not in accord with his personal opinion or his own perception of what a scientific approach of analysis should be. In other words, he puts his own ideas and perceptions above reports, whether these reports appear in hadith or in the biographies about the Prophet, regardless of how reliable and authentic these reports might be. In other words, what I'm saying basically is that Dr. Haykal seemed to refer to the primary sources of biography about the Prophet, but he seemed to misinterpret some of them, and in some cases he makes mistakes concerning the criticism of this type of reports, and as such, in a way, he might have even diverted unknowingly from the very scientific approach that he committed himself to in the beginning of his writing.
Well, let's first examine his misinterpretation of the Quran. Now, how would you explain this?
Well, to begin with, Dr. Haykal, for example, refers to some verses in the Quran in order to support his view by rejection that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had any miracle other than the Quran itself. And this is not just a an approach which is limited to him. It's not a novel approach, really, that Haykal used, because it has been used by some non-Muslim orientalists as well. He gives an example of this, of Surah number 17 in the Quran, especially. I would refer to verses 89 through 94. Now, for the sake of fairness and objectivity, let me just give a summary at least, rather than spend all the time reciting the full section in full. That could be, of course, checked by the viewers. But this passage in the Quran in Surah 17 describes the attitudes of unbelievers towards Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and their intransigence and refusal to follow him and accept the truth that he brought forth to them. And basically the passage describes how God has given all kinds of examples and similitudes in this Quran so that they may take heed of that. But it only increased them in diversion and departure, that is, getting away from the Prophet and his teaching. And then he describes, in the passage, Allah describes their argument with the Prophet, peace be upon him. They came to the Prophet and said, "We will not believe in you until you make the water gush from the earth for us, or you would have an orchard or garden with palm trees and vineyards, or that you make the sky fall on us, since you have been threatening us of the punishment of God. Let the sky fall on us. Or that you should have a house of gold, or that you should go up in front of us to the skies, to the heavens. But even then, we will not believe in you until you bring forth with you a book from heavens so that we can read it." And then, of course, the passage says, Say, "O Muhammad, glory be to my Lord, I am only a human messenger." Now, this passage, notice here, does not in itself negate that Prophet Muhammad had or could have any other miracle other than the Quran. It simply describes the attitude of unbelief, the unreasonableness in the kind of demands they made to the Prophet. You go to the heavens, you bring a book, and all of this. Actually, the same section also says, "We will not believe in you until you bring God and the angels for us to see." So the lack of compliance on the part of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, to this kind of unreasonable request was, as the Quran directed him to say, "I am only a messenger," to remind us that the basic role of the Prophet or Messenger of God is to guide people, not just to impress them with miracles, to guide them. And that one cannot object, as the verses continue, cannot object on the ground that how come God sent a human to carry his message to mankind. Likewise, Haykal also and others refer to another section in the Quran, which they used to support the view that the Prophet did not have any miracle other than the Quran. And that appears in Surah number 6, in passages 109 through 111. Again, the translation of which goes like this: "They swear their strongest oath by God," that's the unbeliever, "that if a special sign came to them, by it they would believe. Say," that means say, "O Muhammad, certainly all signs are in the power of God. But what will make you," means will make you, "O Muslims, realize that even if special signs came, they will not believe." Okay, once more, this ayah or this passage in the Quran is not an evidence at all of the negation of any miracle in the life of the Prophet, but it simply indicates two basic things. One is that all miracles are in the power of God, number one. Number two, that even if these miracles took place that they are asking for, the unbelievers asking for, they may not even believe and they continue because they are bent on disbelief regardless of whatever sign are given to them. So I think it's useful to remember here that there is no prophet who acted as a push-button miracle producer just on the basis of the request or demand by any person around him. I think the viewers who are familiar with the Bible might recall the story in the Gospels about the temptation of Jesus, peace be upon him. When Satan told him, "If you're truly the Son of God, throw yourself from the top of this mountain, nothing will happen to you, because God will send the angel, of course, to carry him. Or if you're truly the Son of God, why don't you turn those rocks into bread?" And there is no report that Jesus complied. After all, the Prophet is not just at the whims of anyone who's asking for miracles, even though there is no question in the mind of the Muslim and in the mind of the Christian, for that matter, that Jesus, peace be upon him, did have a number of miracles in his life. So these are not necessarily contradictory matters. The same thing applies to Prophet Muhammad as well. In brief, then, what we're saying basically is that this kind of references to the Quran that Dr. Haykal and other Orientalists refer to, with the view of denying that Prophet Muhammad has ever had any miracle other than the Quran is not strictly right. It is perhaps a misinterpretation, because the references they use does not really say what they're trying to impart.
Now, a related question to the one just asked was, is there any reference within the Quran itself to any extraordinary event or miracle in the life of the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him?
Well, briefly speaking, the answer is yes.
Yes.
But let me again correct first a wrong impression that some of the readers of Dr. Haykel's book, Life of Muhammad, may get. For example, on page 87 of his introduction to the second edition, he says, quote, there is no mention in the whole Quran of any miracle intended to support the prophethood of Muhammad except the Quran. Now, the reader who is not totally familiar with the Quran may understand this statement, with the way he put it, that there is no miracle to Prophet Muhammad or extraordinary event at all other than the Quran itself, which is not true. I can give at least three proofs right from the Quran on this issue. To begin with, in Surah number 8, in passage number 9, we find a clear description of divine intervention in an extraordinary way, call it a miracle if you like, when it refers to the plight of Muslims in the Battle of Badr. And it says, in the translation of meaning, استستغيثون ربكم, remember you, that's you Muslims, implored the assistance of your Lord, and he answered you, I will assist you with 1,000 of angels, ranks on ranks. Notice here that the text of the Quran did not say, I supported you by increasing your morale, by inspiring courage in you. No, as some people try to interpret, and in fact Yusuf Ali himself, the famous translator of the meaning of the Quran, has fallen in the same error like Haykel. And he translated the original Arabic, the original text, and interpreted it in a sense of just a sort of increase of morale or encourage. No, the text of the Quran speaks about angels. So that's like a far-off type of interpretation. So that's an extraordinary thing. It is a miracle. Now, the other aspect also, if you really look into the translation given by Yusuf Ali, he says this, to strengthen, to assure, and to assist the few believers in the face of an army, which we know in the Battle of Badr was three times as big as the number of Muslims and far superior in both armament and training. The second evidence, in Surah number 9, in passage number 26, again, it's so obvious. ثم أنزل الله سكينته على رسوله وعلى المؤمنين وأنزل جنودا لم تروا. That's the original text. The translation reads like this. But God did pour his calm on the apostle, or in his apostle, that's Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and on the believers, and sent down forces, Yusuf Ali translated as forces, notice here, forces which you saw not. I must observe here, first of all, that this translation by Yusuf Ali uses the word forces in English in lieu, or to translate the Arabic term, junudan. And anyone who knows Arabic knows that junudan does not mean forces, that this is an interpretive translation. Junudan literally means soldiers. Soldiers, which has been always understood by the interpreters of the Quran to refer to soldiers of angels, because God sent soldiers down. We know, of course, that this would be the angels, not human soldiers. There was no report of additional human soldiers joining Muslims in this particular occasion or battle. Now, the third evidence that we find in the Quran of these extraordinary things by the text of the Quran itself is the mention in the Quran about what happened to Muslims receiving the support and help of angels, specified angels, in the battle of Hunayn. And that appears in the Quran in Surah number 3 in verses 124 and 125. All of these proofs, right from the Quran, I believe, are clear enough, conclusive enough, that they were indeed miracles or extraordinary events in the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, beyond the greatest miracle, which is the Quran. As far as the statement by Dr. Haykal that there is no miracle in the Quran to prove the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that's the way he put it. The question here, are all the miracles which are mentioned in the Quran has no objective, are they all intended for no reason other than to prove the the prophethood or genuineness of a given prophet? The answer again can be found in the Quran. There are certain miracles that God has given to certain prophets in the past according to the Quran, not for the purpose of proving that this prophet is genuine, but as a warning from evil, warning for people, to jolt them. We find that clearly in Surah 17 in verse 59. There are also, according to the Quran, miracles which were given to the prophet to support them, to give them strength and deeper faith, as the story of Prophet Abraham with the four birds that appears in the Quran in Surah number 2, verses 259 and 260. And there are also miracles which are basically to honor a given prophet, to comfort him, as we find in the night journey and ascension of Prophet Muhammad referred to in Surah number 17, especially in verse 1. In brief then, what we're saying here basically is that the reference made by Haykal and others to the Quran as an evidence to deny that Prophet Muhammad did not have any extraordinary event or miracle other than the Quran is not true, and an ample evidence has already been given from the Quran. In fact, if Dr. Haykal followed the Quran fully, he would have not made this kind of denial.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Benawi. Seems to have run out of time. We'll pick up on this topic next week, inshallah. From all of us here in Islam in Focus, we thank you very much for joining us, and as always, we would appreciate your comments or any questions you may have. Our phone number and address will be appearing on your screen. Assalamu alaikum. Hope to see you next week, inshallah.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول